And welcome back. Since the summer of 2015, 12 and possibly 13 people have died at a state-operated veterans home in Quincy, Illinois. Dozens of others have been sickened. All suffered from Legionnaire's disease, a waterborne illness that is curable if identified in time. The disease has surfaced three times since it first appeared, most recently earlier this fall. The story has been covered extensively by public radio station WBEZ in Chicago by reporters Dave McKinney and Tony Arnold. They join me now by phone. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Tony, let me begin with you. Where are we in the investigation as to the source of the bacteria that has proven so deadly?
Sure. The disease has kept coming back is what this comes down to. It's a veterans home in Quincy. It's not so much being found in the town of Quincy, but on the sprawling campus. It's about 200 acres of land that's there at the campus of the veterans home. So it's, as far as where this is now, residents have continued to test positive for this and get sick for legionellosis as recently as November. And this has been going on for the better part of 2 years now, two full years.
Dave McKinney, why is it so difficult to identify the source? Do you have any idea?
Well, I mean, the campus itself that Tony alluded to was opened in 1886. A lot of the buildings there are from that period, and they contain original plumbing. There's plumbing in the buildings, plumbing underground. The Veteran Affairs Department director that we interviewed described it as miles and miles and miles of galvanized piping that the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have identified as a potential source for this this germ, basically. And the task of ripping up all of that plumbing would be, according to her estimate, as much as $500 million. I mean, she didn't have firm estimates, but it would be certainly probably more expensive to do that than to raise the place and build, you know, a new facility.
I saw that figure in your story, and I thought maybe it was a misprint. That's $500 million to replace pipe.
Well, she said $500 million, and that was her estimate. And again, I don't know if there have been formal estimates made, but that was her number.
Tony, what kind of marks does the state get for responding to this?
Well, certainly, if you talk to the families of those who have been responded, not good marks at all. Families have been extremely upset with the state for not just their handling of why this keeps coming back, but also their handling of the initial outbreak in 2015. We've talked to a few of the families of those whose parents were residents of the veterans home and ended up dying during that initial 2015 outbreak. And what they basically come down to is saying that they didn't know. They weren't told that there was a problem with the water at the veterans home, so they couldn't make a decision that they to remove their loved one in time before they started getting sick. To take them out and give them some temporary housing somewhere.
To almost a man and a woman, they seem to have reacted the same way from what I've been reading, and that is, they say that their relatives, fought for the country in a war that was obviously a difficult time for them, and then they come back and they die in a veterans home. We have a cut from Diane McHatton, who's her father, Melvin Tucker, died in the veterans home, and she reacted pretty much the way most of the relatives have.
If their dad got shot down over enemy lines, if their dad was 13 months being kicked and starved and beaten, come home, picked himself up, worked his butt off till he retired, And then have something like this happen, ask them how they would feel. What would they want?
Dave McKinney, you can hardly blame them for feeling that way.
It was dramatic testimony from these families. I mean, you have to consider that, for the most part, these people, while they were elderly, they were in generally good health. And the fact that they would get a fever... The home was not doing testing for Legionella at this point in time. It was not part of their protocol. And so what these people were being given basically was Tylenol, according to filings that they have on file with the state of Illinois. their conditions worsened to the point where some of these folks were basically demanding antibiotics for their relatives, demanding that they be sent to the hospital. And by that point, it was too late. And, you know, you do consider the story of Melvin Tucker. He was a World War II veteran, a tail gunner, and a B-17 bomber that was shot down over Nazi Germany. And he was the only crew member on that plane to survive being shot down. And then he gets captured by the Nazis and held as a prisoner of war for 13 months. And you hear that in her voice describing what his life in captivity was like. And then, as you point out, to basically die as a result of not being tested or given an antibiotic in a state-run veterans home, predictably leads to outrage.
Tony Arnold, have any heads rolled as a result of this inability to pick up on the problem more quickly?
No. Nobody has resigned. Nobody's been fired, as far as we know, as a result of the Legionnaire's disease. People and the residents and the staff there continuing to get sick over the last 3 years since 2015.
Senators Durbin and Duckworth have both called for a full review of this situation. Where does that stand?
They continue to call for those investigations. Senator Duckworth, when she talked with us, to your previous question, was asking a little bit more sharply, I'd say, for some accountability, whether it's the governor himself, Governor Bruce Rauner, or the administrator of the Department of Veterans Affairs, Erica Jeffries. Duckworth is speaking as a former director of the Veterans Affairs Department that oversees this particular veterans home in Quincy. As far as Senator Durbin goes, he has been outspoken as wanting more information about what would it take to get you to move the residents out of here until a solution can be solved. Let's, you know, put them in some temporary housing somewhere else to get them out of here until the water can be proven to be safe. The state's response to that argument has been that the residents are safe where they are and that the state is testing over and over and over again, and they've changed their protocols for checking in on residents who are showing symptoms of pneumonia, which tend to go along with being infected with the Legionella bacteria. So there's been this debate going on now, really since this story aired last week, about Durbin saying, get the people out, put them somewhere safe, and the state saying, no, they're okay there, even though there was a case as recently as last month.
Yeah, that case last month, it's uncertain whether the person who passed away actually died of the disease. Isn't that correct? Had it, but it may not have been the cause of his death.
Well, I mean, I think you have to consider what's on the medical examiner's death certificate. And that is that he died of a form of pneumonia as a consequence of Legionnaire's disease and influenza. So it's a pretty clear statement coming out of the Adams County Medical Examiner's Office that his exposure to Legionella helped cause his death.
The state is accepting, as I understand it from your work, is accepting no legal responsibility for any of this. Tony?
That's right. And so far, that initial outbreak in 2015, there were 12 deaths. 11 families of those 12 people who died are now suing the state for negligence in this case. Some of them, including Diane McHatton, which you heard from earlier, have been saying that the state acted neglectfully. They didn't notify them that there was Legionella found on site in July, even though these people were getting sick in August. So they're claiming that the state knew for weeks and did not notify the families, did not notify the residents. And so far in the court filings, the state, represented by the Attorney General's office, has denied acting neglectfully in any of these instances, usually without too much of an explanation in their court filings. But these also have been filed, for the most part, this year. Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but some of these have been filed this year and maybe even at the end of last year. So they're still, I'd say, in the early stages of the legal process for working through the system.
Dave, my understanding is that there is a cap on any lawsuits that are filed, relatively low, I think, for when we're dealing with deaths, the cap at about $100,000, if I'm correct on that. How did that come about?
Well, that's been on the books for quite a while here in Illinois, and you know, it's created a situation for these families that is far different than had this happened on a private or in a private hospital or a nursing home or even in a hotel. I mean, in our research, we found a case stemming from an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease at a Marriott hotel in Chicago, I believe in 2012, where the family of an elderly physician who succumbed to Legionnaires wound up receiving a judgment from the from that case exceeding $2 million. So you get an idea that these cases outside the purview of governments get that. And to a one, these families are not out to get the money here. They the ones we interviewed said that their main concern is figuring out a way to get the state to get this situation dealt with, so that people are not getting sick year after year after year. And it just creates this hardship for these families where they're basically having to kind of relive their own nightmares with their parents that passed away in 2015 when they hear that more people are getting sick and as Tony mentioned, in November, dying again.
Tony, Governor Rauner, what's his role in all of this? He's taking some heat, I suspect.
He has. This is campaign season in Illinois. There's a competitive Democratic primary to challenge Governor Rauner in next year's election. Even Governor Rauner has a Republican opponent in his own primary. So as far as Rauner's own response to our story, last week he had a new statement out that basically recapped the state's position for the last for the last 2 years, saying that while the situation is tragic, they're on top of the situation. In fact, Rauner visited the veterans' home in Quincy in 2016 when there was an outbreak there, saying that they were on top of the situation. So this statement, after our story aired, reiterated that sentiment. That said, many of his political opponents disagree strongly with that statement. From his own Republican opponents, State Representative Jeannie Ives, to any number of the Democratic candidates for the governor's race, also saying that Rauner hasn't done enough, that J.B. Pritzker in particular had a press conference even after the story aired, saying that he agreed with Senator Durbin and that the residents should be moved out, at least on a temporary basis, until the place is proven to be safe.
Is there any chance that that could or would happen?
If you ask the state of Illinois, they say no. The director of Veterans Affairs said that one main reason for not removing the residents for now is because it's they are elderly and it would be possibly dangerous to move them and find a place in addition to just finding space for them somewhere else. So from her point of view, that was not an option. Although she said that it is something that they have considered. Considered moving people temporarily. They've even considered, we started the conversation, replacing all the pipes. But so far, their solution has been to upgrade the water treatment systems, the filters on the shower heads, on the dishwasher heads, that kind of thing. The jets in the pool, I believe, are the only thing that remain off. Last we spoke with the director about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
Because the water, the tainted water could come from any source. It could be from a shower or from cooking or from any water source in this building, correct?
Yeah, I mean, go through your day and think about every time you turn on the faucet, where you are and what pipes it took to get that water there, whether it's brushing your teeth in the sink mm-hmm. in your room or whether it's the dishwasher head that's in the kitchen that's cleaning the plates. The CDC and their investigations that have been going on since this initial 2015 outbreak have found any number of places where the bacteria has been located.
About 400 residents, Dave, in the facility. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly below that, but it's the state of Illinois' largest state-run veterans home. There are four of them that Illinois has, and this one is also the oldest. It's been around for a long, long time, and it's an important source of jobs for the Quincy area, and I think there's a natural hesitancy on the ground and wariness about what all of this might mean for that employer locally. But, you know, the state of Illinois has a problem on its hands here. They have spent a lot of money trying to fix this, but yet people keep getting sick and in one case dying. And I think pretty much across the board, there's a feeling that this can't be allowed to continue to happen. And so, you know, they have this real dilemma of, you know, do you stay in place with these people and try to to combat this every time it arises, or do something more drastic. And I don't think we've seen the end of this by any means.
One of the incredible parts of your story, and we just have a short amount of time left, some of the people who live there are spouses of the veterans, if you will. And you tell a story of a woman who had died, the spouse of one of the veterans who died, and her body wasn't found for 2 days.
I mean, it's horrifying. And this woman in particular, her name was Dolores French, and she was from Springfield, and her only malady was deafness. She was 78 years old, otherwise in good health. And she and her husband, who had Parkinson's disease, decided that after spending a little bit of a time in a nursing care facility, mainly for him, that the veterans' home would be a good spot. He was a Korean War veteran. And so they moved in, and they had separate living areas. He was in a more skilled area to deal with his Parkinson's. She was in more of an independent living section. And the story of the way it rolls out is her son winds up hearing about a Legionnaires outbreak from his brother, who'd heard news on the radio. He calls the facility to find out if everything's okay with his parents, is told that it is, if they haven't heard from them already. And then the next day they find out that his mother's friends were beginning to wonder where she was, and they wanted permission to go into her unit. They found her, you know, dead in front of a recliner when they went in. And the coroner later told the family that she had been dead for a period of time and possibly 2 to 3 days. Hmm. And it's just, when people put their loved ones in the care of a state institution like this, they believe they're going to be taken care of. And this family in particular believes that, you know, they were horribly betrayed by the state of Illinois.
I got to stop you right there. I want to get Tony back very quickly. Tony, in 15 seconds, if you can, where does the story go from here?
We have a lot of questions still. I think other reporters around the state do, too, including in Quincy, which is, why weren't families told sooner in 2015 at this initial outbreak? And more frustratingly, why does this keep happening?
I know you guys will both be on it. Thank you so much for being with us, Dave McKinney and Tony Arnold of WBEZ in Chicago. Thank you so much. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.